This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Super J Cast. I'm Joel Abraham, joined by Damon McDonald. I've had a week, Damon, as you well know. It's been a long one. I was hoping to be able to sit with you, my good friend, and talk about some actual pro wrestling. A fun tournament, well-booked, great matches, exciting future possibilities. But you can't even have that, Damon. Strap yourselves in, folks. Get ready for the discourse.
I don't know if I'm ready for the discourse. I know that people are going to be like, "What?" I'm finding out a lot of stuff that has occurred in the past few days in the online communities that is kind of disappointing, really. Like, oh my God. But that's why we're here. We're here to make sure that voices are heard and viewpoints are shared. And by shared, we just want to spout our own. We do our show. You want to spout your own? Go do your own fucking show and make it as popular as ours. But you've been telling me a lot, and it's been a week, both having to do with the squared circle and not. So look, I know there's a lot to cover. We had a wonderful New Japan Cup, a refreshing New Japan Cup, should I say. One with little twists, little turns. All I know is, the big news is my brackets looked really fucking sharp. I wish I wasn't so goddamn lazy and actually submitted them. But if I'm recollecting correctly, my brackets were pretty fucking solid, pretty solid.
Yes, I think had you actually submitted the picks that you gave on the show, you'd have beaten me. You'd have been very high. I think you may have even cracked the top five. So get them in next time, Damon. We want to see them. But
I know. You know what it is? It's like I talk about it with you, and I get it out of my system, and then I don't like when people text. Like I don't understand why people think that things don't apply to them, but people then text me their thoughts about wrestling, and it's like I talk about this shit for 3 hours. I wake up at 5 o'clock in the fucking morning to make sure that I am ready to go to talk to you about this, so I can share it with the masses, like Depeche Mode. I'm a podcasting for the masses, but then everybody's got to get their personal take. Leave me alone is what I'm trying. Leave me alone. All right. Joel, you had a week, as you said. Why don't you steer us in the direction in which where we need to go? Who do we have to set straight first, should I say?
Well, let's start with a question from Basti Mus, who says, was the ending to this New Japan Cup the biggest dropping of the ball they could have possibly conceived? Now, I just said to Damon off the air, I don't know what your opinion is about this whole thing, so I'm very interested to hear. This may very well come across like Damon giving the sensible person's take of me sounding like the crazy man. And I'll accept that, because all opinions are valid here. Honestly, I don't even know where to start with this one. People are going to react differently to this, which is fine. And please understand that if you, dear listener, if you liked what happened after the match with Will Ospreay and Shingo Takagi and the thing with him giving the attack, the cutter to Bea Priestley, if you liked it, I'm not having a go at you. I'm saying that it's important that you listen to the other perspectives, even if you don't agree. I suspect a lot of people are just going to eye roll this as dumb pro wrestling, which is fair. And when I saw what happened, Damon, my first reaction was, oh, he's just copied Randy Orton from 2005 with the Stacey Keebler thing. How lazy and shitty. I didn't like that when it happened back then. I certainly don't like it now. And I really shouldn't have to explain this, but apparently I do. Using the only female wrestler regularly appearing on your shows as a disposable prop to show how much the bad guy wants to win the title is sexist, right? It's a common and lazy trope in fiction to use a woman as an object to help the male protagonist advance the plot. Mm-hmm. It's upsetting to viewers who might have suffered from such trauma in the past. And within the context of the Speaking Out movement, a wider UK campaign about violence against women following the alleged abduction and murder of a woman by a police officer. We got a guy shooting up massage parlours in the States. Domestic violence reports in Japan hitting record highs. We got protests in Japan against sexual discrimination. Not to mention Osprey and B. Priest's extremely questionable history with Pollyanna. Maybe this wasn't the smartest idea, people. And hot take alert, I think using the concept of domestic violence as a way to get heat for a men's wrestling match is lazy and stupid. Now, you might not see it that way, that's fine, but there are plenty of people who do, and it's important to listen to them and respect their opinions, even if you disagree. And I tell you, Damon, I got an awful lot of big brain smart boys in my mentions mansplaining why this was actually okay and explaining the concept of fiction to me. And as friend of the show Sean said, all the reply guys deciding what type of violence against women is fake and what's real in all kinds of media, which was very nice, very good. Thank you, reply guys. And listen, to those people who think that this thing is fine because Osprey and B wrestled each other in a match, no, this is different. This is not an intergender wrestling match where two professional fighters in storyline gave their consent and willingly took part in a match. Right? Different. This was, to the casual observer in storyline, a man launching an unexpected, unprovoked, non-consensual attack on his girlfriend. Now, it doesn't matter that B obviously consented to it as a performer in this, right? It's what they're portraying in the ring. And if you can't understand the difference between those two things, then you've got to try harder. It's not difficult. And to those people who think that it's fine because, like I said, Randy Orton did it in 2005. I swear to you, if I get one more fucking person talking to me about Randy Orton, I'm going to scream. No, right? It was shitty and lazy then, and it's shitty and lazy now, right? As a society, I don't think we should use how Vince McMahon thought women should be treated 15 years ago as the moral benchmark to what's acceptable today. Imagine that.
Yeah.
Presenting 2000s WWE as the moral standard with a straight fucking face, right? The fact that more problematic stuff could fly under the radar then is not a justification. To those people who think it's fine because films and TV have violence against women, no. When I turn on, for example, Game of Thrones or Sopranos or whatever, there's an unspoken agreement that the viewer knows roughly what kind of content they're about to watch, okay? There are usually clear ratings or warnings about disturbing content so that people who don't want to watch that kind of stuff can avoid it. And when I turned on the New Japan Cup final, I wanted to see some pro wrestling. I didn't willingly agree to watch depictions of violence against women. So that is a transparently false equivalency. And look, this what happened in the New Japan Cup final, this is not a thoughtful depiction of domestic violence that's trying to make some poignant statement about the matter. It's not high art or elegant storytelling. It's Will Ospreay doing a cutter on his girlfriend because Randy Orton did it 15 years ago and Will thought it was cool. Okay? It's not exactly Othello and Desdemona out here. So these are the same tired, demonstrably false counter-arguments that I've had thrown at me again and again and again. And let's also be clear, right? We know where this is going. We know that despite her commitments that day as a Stardom show in the day of Sacrogenesis, there's a fair chance that either at Sacrogenesis or maybe somewhere down the line is going to, I don't know, attack Ibushi and help Ospreay win the title. That doesn't make this okay. It's still a simulation of domestic violence. And here's the thing, I keep saying, if you liked it, that's fine. I'm not going to criticise you for that. You like what you like. We all have different tastes and backgrounds. We experience things differently. If you thought the angle was cool, great. Good for you. However, if you thought it was cool, and you also spent your day ridiculing the people who didn't like it, or explaining to them why they're wrong for disliking it, what are you doing? actually, what are you doing with your life? Pipe the fuck down. Nobody asked you. Let other people dislike it. Listen to their opinions. Be respectful. You don't have to agree, but you might leave the conversation a little bit wiser than when you entered it. And Damien, you wouldn't know this. I tweeted specifically asking female fans, female identifying fans, to let me know what they thought. Not that they're only them, that only they have the right to dislike this crap, but because I genuinely wanted to know what effect, if any, this might have on the female fan base. And boy, if I didn't get an awful lot more smart boys in that thread continue to explain why we're wrong without a shred of irony or self-awareness. And, you know, fortunately, a lot of women did reach out to me, both in the mentions, which was very brave of them for wading into that shit show, but also in the direct messages. And surprise, surprise, most of them hated it. A couple were conflicted, a couple were okay with it, but not one woman said to me, yeah, that angle is awesome. What a home run. I can't wait to see Ibushi kick his ass at Sakura Genesis.
Right.
Which, and that leads me to the most tiresome retort, which is, he's a heel. You're supposed to hate him. It's heel heat. Did you hear any heel heat in that venue, Damon? You can hear a fucking pin drop.
I heard silence. I heard the deafening sounds of crickets.
People were confused, right? The announcers were confused. The English announce team were confused. Japanese fans I spoke to said they didn't understand what was going on. And even they were all debating on Twitter about whether or not it was a depiction of domestic violence. We're hearing from Voices of Wrestling on their Patreon about wrestlers who backstage were pissed off with this angle. And it's obvious to me the heat is on the company, not on the main event of Sakura Genesis, where it should be. Nobody is talking about that match or the Shingo match. We're all talking about this stupid fucking angle. And look, this is not about my opinion, whether or not I liked it personally, because I'm just one idiot podcast co-host. Yes, I thought it was stupid and lazy, but my point is, there are a lot of other people who hated it, who were upset by it, who don't want to watch New Japan anymore because, you know, it's not as if this is an isolated incident from the same company that tried to fucking sneak Marty Scurll when they thought nobody was looking, right? This is a worrying behavioural trend now. It's making people uncomfortable. We are, or I am at least, side-eyeing this company real hard right now. Big questions. There are also people who say, oh, you're only complaining because it's Will Ospreay. And look, I would hate the angle even if it weren't Ospreay. But the fact that it is him makes it even worse, given his background, the accusations against him, how he's treated women and rape victims, how he's rolled into certain people's DMs asking for kinder coverage because their criticism made him feel suicidal. And now he's doing this, right? Does this really look like a man who's learned his lesson and it deserves our support and our sympathy? Or is this a bully and a coward who manipulates people and plays the victim card when it suits him and exploits the suffering of others, but at the end of the day is going to do whatever he thinks will help him be a big wrestling star? And, you know, there are even some people who think I shouldn't praise his matches. Personally, I think I can critically assess his wrestling matches and then discuss the other stuff on its own merit. That's a discussion for another time. But I will say this, Damon. I've been ranting for about 10 minutes now. I haven't even discussed one move from the Ospreay Shingo match, which is a complete afterthought to me. I don't even feel like I want to discuss it. And here we are in the fucking mud again.
Yeah. Yeah. Look. I feel... I can imagine what that had to be like to just be disappointed in the human race again and again and again. But that's a hell of a week. Yeah. So for me, it's a situation where, excuse me, Yeah, I've seen it a million times in pro wrestling, right? That what you described at various levels of discomfort. Dusty Rhodes and Baby Doll, and Tully Blanchard and Baby Doll. You know, we're talking 1986, and you know, JJ lies about giving a plane ticket to Baby Doll. Baby Doll is not to be found. Tully Blanchard's like, where the hell have you been? An argument ensues. Tully Blanchard hauls off on Baby Doe. Dusty Rhodes, as a babyface, hauls off on Baby Doll as a heel manager. A little bit different dynamic here, but you should have seen the people going nuts in wherever that was. Tape was probably like Charlotte, and women in the crowd kind of saying, "Give her another one, Dusty." And Dusty even talked about that in the past, where he was even uncomfortable. He's like, "I'm the baby face. I'm doing this." You know, not for nothing, but the whole dynamic of Randy Savage and Elizabeth. You know, not the best portrayal of male female dynamics here and relationships. Which actually bled into some real life jealousies and such. And you hear the stories of Randy locking Elizabeth in locker rooms just to not deal with that jealousy. Of course, everybody knows about the infamous Continental angle. Dirty White Boy. And the hoodwinking of the whole territory at the time in the angle of, you know, the allegations of domestic violence being played out right in front of our eyes in a pro wrestling show. ECW, Beulah McGillicuddy, cuts a promo in the ring explaining that she's pregnant and who's with Raven. And the baby's not Raven's, and it's not Stevie Richards. And Raven proceeds to grab Beulah, pregnant, into the corner with the threat of, "You're going to get cracked across the mouth," until Tommy Dreamer makes the save. So throughout the history of pro wrestling, we have seen instances that I felt were worse than this. Because the implication of even worse violence and anger toward, you know, whether it be Baby Doll, whether it be Beulah McKillicuddy, whether it be whomever it would be, seemed a little bit more, you're playing on people's emotions even more. Whereas this felt like a person getting, a pro wrestling move put on them to kick them out of a faction. Right? I felt like the other ones were much worse. Now, know that in every instance, there has been a certain amount of outcry. Now, again, we didn't have the luxury of having podcasts and the internet and methods to really have your voices heard on this, but places like, I don't know, Observer reader pages where people could write in letters and talk about pro wrestling in a not as an easily, two-way street communication methods that we have now. But, you would write the letter and you would publish it. People were upset by it. And people would vote on it at, the most disgusting promotional tactic. I guess that's where people could voice their displeasure when things like this happened. And people talk about, like, okay, it's pro wrestling. It's pro wrestling. And I guess that's my point in all this, is that pro wrestling can be better than that. And I think a lot of people gravitate toward New Japan, at least in the past 5-6 years, because there is a very, 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 very good chance that even though the name is New Japan Pro Wrestling, you weren't necessarily going to be exposed to that. there is something to be said about the heel getting heat, right? Sure, absolutely. And again, in examples that I shared with you, just off the top of my head that I remember, those were methods for heels, for the most part, to get heat. Doesn't make it right, right? It doesn't make it, if you look at it outside the pro wrestling box, and even in the pro wrestling box, it doesn't make it right just because it was done over and over again. Again, I'm pretty familiar with pro wrestling and the idea of extreme versions of and extreme examples of behavior is the backbone of pro wrestling. But again, I think there's a standard in this promotion that. And I really had to think, has something like this ever happened in New Japan before? Like an angle like this, where, to be very clear, the angle is domestic violence, right? I mean, nobody's doubting that, correct, Joel?
What, whether or not it's a depiction of domestic violence?
Correct.
Yeah, people are arguing about that.
I don't understand why that's what it is, right? I mean, that's what it is. I don't know what else would it be.
Well, I've told you the excuses people have given to defend it. Oh, she's a wrestler. She was in on it. It's fiction. It's pro wrestling.
Right.
Blah, blah, blah. They don't wash with me. And again, I'm not saying that this is the worst thing I've ever seen in wrestling.
It's an angle.
It was stupid and lazy. My point is what's really annoying is one, the timing of it, how tone deaf it is. And two, the way people will not allow other people to let their feelings out. You know, it's okay for people to dislike this. Let them dislike it. Be like, okay, I didn't see it that way, but I understand what you said, and yeah, that's valid as well.
Right. I mean, I think people flocked to New Japan Pro Wrestling because you knew that the possibility of seeing stuff like that was minimal at best. I don't understand that. Like, why? I mean, again, it is what it is. Whether you can stomach it or not is that's your call. But if people are upset or outraged or upset or disappointed I think they have a valid leg to stand on here. I mean, for me personally, I thought it was just a terrible angle. From a pro wrestling perspective, it was just, it didn't make any sense to me, but okay. And it was just something that was just like, I don't know if I really needed this. And to be truthful, it didn't hit me as hard as maybe other people, probably because I've seen it. Again, all those times that I've mentioned and countless other times that I haven't. So maybe I'm just fucking numb to it, you know? Maybe it's just, maybe, and that might be a bigger discussion, quite honestly, but it's the fact that, we went there. And you're right. The idea of arguing that, you know, Vince McMahon's idea of what is acceptable in pro wrestling, especially when it comes to females, is the standard bearer. It's pretty wow-wee. But yeah, I don't understand it, man. And this might be the main reason why I can't get involved in that, because I just don't have the patience for people like that. I don't have the patience for people like that. And that's hard and that's tough, but I don't know how you can disconnect yourself from that. And I don't mean Joel Abraham. I just mean human beings can disconnect yourself from that constant battering of, oh, really? You know, I know you're anonymous. I know you're Brian and a bunch of numbers at Twitter.com, and you love to hide behind the anonymity of the internet. I get that. Okay. But man, like, that's really what you're thinking on these things? Whoosh. All right. Well, yeah. Needless to say, I thought the angle was shit. I feel bad for the people that were really, it hit them harder than it hit me. I feel bad for those people. And I feel bad that this actually had to be a discussion of, you know, people getting dragged through the mud because they felt a certain way about an angle. I mean, people can have opinions, but geez, Louise. That's disappointing. I got to be honest. That's really disappointing. Really disappointing. I'm disappointed. Because, just fucking delete Twitter, Joel. Just fucking delete that app. It is the worst fucking thing ever. Ugh. I'm done.
Yeah, it's just symptomatic of all sort of fan cultures. You know, it's angry boys who are scared that someone's going to come and take their toys away from them. And you see it in all facets of other fandoms. You know, we've seen it with Star Wars fans. We've seen it in the video game industry, the Gamergate thing, or anytime Anita Sarkeesian criticizes any sort of tropes within gaming and all the little boys shit their pants. So,
you know what I really heard? I'm sorry. But you know what I really was like? I mean, you know the show Doctor Who, right?
Yeah, of course.
There were people that were upset. And again, I followed it for one season because I liked the one dude whose name I fucking forget. The one doctor. I thought he was fucking awesome. And Emily Pond and Matt Smith. I think I had a man crush on Matt Smith. But they were upset because... And correct me if I'm wrong, I don't watch, but there was going to be, the doctor was going to be a female, played by a female, and people were losing their fucking minds over it. And I'm just like, really? That's, like, that, I don't, So yeah, I guess it is in every fandom. I'm sorry, go ahead. I just triggered something in my head. I was like, oh, yeah, damn, it is in every fandom.
All right, well, I really don't want to go on about this stupid angle too much longer. There are a few questions. I'll try and get through them quickly so we can actually talk about fucking wrestling. Yeah. Flynn says, this isn't really a question, but just passing my opinion on about the Ospreay situation. People are saying it's okay because it's fiction, but I think you need to consider what the intentions are when you consider if portraying violence or abuse of women is acceptable. On UK soaps and dramas, abuse of women is shown, but this is done via a carefully thought-out storyline, which is aimed to help victims identify the situation they're in. This is also followed by support information and other aftercare available to help the victims. If the aim is just to get cheap heat on a wrestler with no thought about the wider meaning, then it's not okay, in my opinion. I also think that pro wrestling is best when it's about two people who just want to win a match. They may cheat, but their heat should be based on what they try to do to win a match. New Japan Cup win was fine as it was without an attempt at WWE bullshit. So yeah, I agree with that. And I'll try and deal with these questions. Damon, please jump in if you have anything you want to add. In-ring Art says, why not have a Stardom heel pop out of nowhere and attack B to signify the breakup? Then they can parlay it into a program for her over there. There are way more creative ways for Will to be a dick to her without laying hands on her. Yeah, I mean, there were an infinite number of other ways they could have done it better than the way they did. Andrew says, if Shingo won the New Japan Cup and choked out a monkey to get heel heat based on real life controversies, would it have been defended as vociferously as this Ospreay angle? I mean, people are coming at it from both sides. Some people are saying that people are only going in on it so hard because it is Ospreay, but then other people are saying that people are defending it hard because it's Ospreay. So you just can't win with Ospreay. I'm just sick of talking about him. I just wish I could just talk about the wrestling, but apparently I'm not allowed to. Gig says, my thoughts immediately after the angle was they had Ospreay use a cutter instead of punching B or using the hidden blades as an attempt to soften the blow, make it look less like domestic violence and more like wrestling, trying to cover their asses so they could have their cake and eat it too. Do you think that them making it more wrestling is a sign that they knew it was a bad idea and still went with it to try and get heat, giving them a half-assed out, or do you think that was just coincidental? Honestly, I think he just saw the Randy Orton thing in 2005, was like, that's cool, I want to do that.
Right, you might be right about that, but I do think that. Because, again, if I were going to take the angle that I saw a few days ago and compare it. Like, have you ever seen that Raven angle with Beulah?
No.
It's fucked up, you know. But I was there live, and I, even people in the crowd were somewhat like, "Whoa, what the?" You know, it was more of the "Oh, what the fuck?" as opposed to, you know, the disgust. I mean, it was the ECW arena, though. I mean, we're not looking at this as being the fucking UN. That's for sure. But you know, it was. Like watching it now, it's like one of those things where you're just like, ooh, okay. And again, I just remember Tully Blanchard whacking Baby Doll with that angle. That was pretty, like, I remember at the time, I mean, I'm, you know, in maybe like in 10th grade at the time, something like that. And even then, I was just like, ooh, what the fuck? Yeah. Pro wrestling is really not the method to use when developing young boys' mind on how to treat women. That's for sure. And do you know that continental angle that I talked about?
No, a lot of those were new to me. So it's been a history lesson here.
Joel, this fucking angle, it's on YouTube, and I will say this, and I don't think I've ever said this before. Like, if this is a sensitive issue for you, I'm going to tell you not to watch it. Do not watch this. But know that the idea is this two guys feuding. One has a manager / valet, and there was some random other interview. So, you know, they're doing and. She walks out in the middle of this interview and is like, I need to talk, what was it, to Tony? Was it? Like the guy that the guy she manages is feuding with. I need to talk to Tony. And the announcer's like, well, this is not your time, but why are you at? And no, I need to talk to him. And it happened like three times during the show. And again, if I'm not mistaken, there were like signs of that she was physically abused, like I don't know if they made her up or to make her look like she's been bruised up a little bit. It's all on YouTube. Again, it is a crazy, disturbing angle, even for Southern pro wrestling in the 80s. But it is one of the more notorious, fucked up angles. So, yeah, I think those are much worse than what we saw here in New Japan Cup.
Paleo Drew says, if the Will B storyline led to a match for the Rev Pro title at one of the stadium shows in May, would that make the storyline less awful? I mean, I don't know. If they were to follow up on this with a thoughtful and sensitive and nuanced storyline about domestic violence and the repercussions and the consequences of that, then I would perhaps try and address that as a whole. But I'm not confident that it is.
Why do we get there in the first place is my problem, Joel.
Right.
Again, I don't necessarily want my New Japan Pro Wrestling to be teaching moments. I just fight over a title. Can we just do that? That would be perfectly fine with me. But it's this all this other nonsense that now we're for fuck's sake, now we're here. You know what I mean? Just like you were really frustrated with it before. It's unbelievable that every fucking week I got to come in on here and talk about nonsense shit that for 3 years ago I didn't have to talk about. And it's not about me, mind you, but it's the whole situation of why are we even here with this promotion? Who greenlighted this? Where the fuck did New Japan Pro Wrestling go? We had a great match. We haven't talked one fucking second about a great match. We had a great cup. We haven't talked one motherfucking sentence about this cup. And it's every goddamn week with this fucking promotion. Enough already. God damn it. Tone deaf motherfuckers. Okay, I'm done.
Yeah, I'm as exasperated as you, Damon. Look, 35 minutes in, no wrestling talk. Last question, I promice. William says, what if that angle was B's idea? I don't think it matters. I mean, it may very well have been her idea. It's not who came up with the idea. It's the execution of it and the implications of it. And I think I've gone to quite some lengths to explain what my issues were with it. So let's put that one to bed now. Let's talk about the match itself. New Japan Cup Final. Will Ospreay beat Shingo Takagi in 30 minutes and 6 seconds with Stormbreaker to win the 2021 New Japan Cup. Then please talk to us about the match.
Match was lovely. Match was great. Those two guys have a wonderful chemistry together. And I think this was something that we all had hoped for when we were doing our brackets, that this could possibly be a final. Let's look who's in there, though. I mean, it's two guys that we've been saying for quite a while that they're building around. This is a clear... I mean, New Japan Cup, I think more than G1, is about conditioning fans of who they feel is important. Whereas G1 is the exclamation point of this guy has been built. So New Japan Cup is kind of like the start of, okay, these people, again, we're taking next levels. And G1 is, okay, the stamp of approval is already there. And look at what we're doing. It's exciting to me in the sense of this as much as I just went off, like, this is what we all want to see. Now, there were moments in the match, and I'll say specifically the finish, where people, I can see them kind of with that whole exchange of Shingo's going to hit the big clothesline, and Will's going to matrix his way out of it, boom, into the finish. I was amazed physically by it. Like, I was amazed at the way that a human being can contort their body on it. But even then, I felt like it looked really odd. Like, it just, and it looked a little bit out of place. I would have preferred a different way to take it home, because it did leave me like, ooh, what? Ah, whoa. Because it just, I know it's Will Ospreay, and he can do those things, and he's done those things in the past. I just felt like that exchange was just a little weird, especially all that happened earlier with Shingo taking everything under the fucking sun from Will. And I don't know.
Sorry, interject with a quote from Jurassic Park from Dr. Ian Malcolm. Just because you can do it doesn't mean that you should.
Thank you. That was my only criticism, and it is a small one, but I thought the match was fantastic. And again, what made me even more happy was the New Japan Cup as a whole, where you had David Finlay taking next steps. You had Hinare, even with little seeds of, okay, they're doing something with him. And the fact that the company truly recognizes the fact that the stars that they had 3 to 5 years ago are banged up. They might need a break. They might need the spotlight taken off of them. And we need to do things to make sure that we're set up in the future. And they constantly do that. Again, Jay White, Great O'Conn, again, now Finlay, with a little taste of success. Ospreay, Shingo, all these guys, even Kota Ibushi. All these guys that were kind of set up with these pockets of people that, one, can really go, right? They can really work great matches. I mean, injuries, everybody's working with injuries, but again, we're not at that just worn to the bone where you have Tanahashi and Okada and Naito, who are just really physically hurting right now, probably. Not probably, they are. And we have this nice stockpile of guys that they've had slow burns on that are now ready to take next steps. That's that. When I turned off New Japan Cup, that angle aside, where it was just like, what was that? That's what I felt. I felt like we absolutely, if there was any doubt before, we're next stepping. We're looking to the future.
Yeah, I agree with that. I thought the match was really good. I didn't like it as much as the other matches they've had in the past. And yeah, I agree that some of the moments were a bit far-fetched. I did enjoy Zombie Shingo with the funny face that he did staggering towards Ospreay. I really thought Shingo was going to win. I was actually quite shocked that Ospreay won, because the way it had been building, it felt like it was Shingo's moment. But yeah, there you go. Also on that show was the return of Yo, who announced his intention to resume his partnership with Sho and go for the junior tag titles again. Bash says, do you think that they should have brought Yo back in a better way than just wheeling him out at the beginning of the show and bringing him back to team with Sho, considering the really decent singles run Sho has had recently?
Yeah, it seemed a little bit odd, like, just to have him pop up. I mean, personally, I would have done a little bit more. Made it a little bit more meaningful. Correct me if I'm wrong. And again, I don't want to go down a road if we're talking about it later, which I'm sure we will. They're getting a title shot?
Correct, yeah. On both counts. We will talk about that later. But yeah, they've got a match lined up at Sakura Genesis.
Okay. And again, Show, to be clear, has been a solo performing wrestler. They haven't been a tag team in over a year. Haven't won a match. Haven't done it. Okay. That I felt was weird, but okay. But that was later on. But okay. Do you think this leads to anything, or are we just going right back in the Roppongi 3K pocket?
I would be disappointed if it were the latter. I'm hoping for some sort of shake up.
Yeah. Yeah, I would. I think for both sake. I like, how do you go back? How do you put Show back to being a junior tag wrestler? You know what I mean? Like, don't you think he's done? And I'm not shitting on the junior tag scene.
Well, you should, because it's really stale. I mean,
it is.
We'll come on to it later, but this is the ninth time that Roppongi 3K have faced Kanemaru and Desperado. And as much as I like that match, they've been having this feud for like 3.5 years now. So. Right. Whilst I do agree with you, I'd like to see both guys move on to do something else. There is nothing. The junior tag division is barren. And, I mean, you could say the same about the junior singles division. It's one of the things I was discussing on Twitter earlier. I mean, someone showed a screenshot of all the quote-unquote jobbers in WWE sharing a locker room together. I'm trying to find the picture now so I can tell you. There's people like Tozawa, Humberto Carrillo, Drew Gulak, Gran Metalik, Ricochet, yeah, who are just sitting around doing nothing. And you think what a huge difference any one of these guys would make to the New Japan Junior Division. But yeah, I hope they do something with Sho and Yo in singles capacity, but if that kills the junior tag division, so be it. I mean, it's this double-edged sword, isn't it?
Yeah, but and again, to me, the idea of the junior tag titles being in this rut is kind of surprising, considering the past 10 years of New Japan's history. Like, if of anything, I think that is one of the biggest shocks to me, the fact that it does feel incredibly stale right now. Where, you know, the company used to have just a plethora of people that you could tap into. It's just not there anymore. A lot of this, you would think, has to do with pandemic-related issues and getting people in and out. And I think if that handcuff wasn't there, I think we would be in a much better spot. Anyway, my point being is I don't, like, are you excited for the return of Roppongi 3K, or are you more excited of, hey, this is a you know, I've been away for a year. Now we're going to do something different because, you know, we really weren't together for a year. So we're going to continue down that same path of not being together. Like, wouldn't that make more sense?
Yeah, it would. And I think most people are excited to see what's in store for both guys as singles wrestlers. Yeah. You know, people are talking about they want to see a Yo heel turn, maybe Yo team up with LIJ, or I don't know who, what other possibilities there are, but I don't think too many people are excited about Roppongi 3K coming back. Not because they're not a great team. They are, and they have great matches, but we've seen them all before because we've got the exact same teams there that were there in 2018.
Right, right. We didn't miss a beat at all. So, I hope. The idea, I mean, again, I don't want to get too far ahead, but the idea of them getting a title shot is preposterous. So you would think that there's something up their sleeves where somebody's turning on somebody. Right, something this cannot just be a match pinfall, we're done with this, right? Something has to be up their sleeves because, again, the idea of we haven't been a tag team we haven't been in the same ring in a year and now we got a title shot, like what the fuck is that? But okay, you would think that there's something up their sleeves.
What's going on, guys? This is Rich from the Flagship Podcast here on the Voice of Wrestling Podcast Network. If I could have a moment of your time, I'd like to tell you about one of our sponsors, Eufy Video Lock. Eufy Video Lock is a smart lock, a 2K camera, and a doorbell, all 3-in-1, offering you triple security. So you can have everything in one device rather than installing many pieces on your front door. But it's not just for security. Eufy Video Lock is also for convenience. No more concerns about losing keys, and you can assign passwords to your family members and see them coming back home via the integrated cameras. Some other great features we love about the Eufy Video Lock is it is easy to install and set up with just a Phillips screwdriver, no drilling required. Keyless entry, no more fumbling for keys when your hands are full. You never have to worry about kids losing keys or passing among renters. You also have 0.3 second fingerprint recognition and 1 second unlocking. Again, 0.3 seconds, it's going to recognize your fingerprints, and in 1 second, it's going to unlock. And with the AI self-learning chip embedded, the more you use it, the more accurate it will be. Also, no battery anxiety. You have a rechargeable battery in there that could last around 4 months, and you will get a low battery notification before it runs out. Passcode unlocking, a remote control with a 2K clear sight, see who's at your door, and control from anywhere through the Eufy app. With enhanced night vision, you can have optimized view even in the evening. You can also secure your package delivery by view and two-way audio. And then best of all, no monthly fee. A bunch of other brands out there are going to charge you a monthly fee. You have your recordings locally and you never have to pay for storage. Customer service, Eufy's got you handled as well. They are on standby for you 24/7 so you can enjoy a worry-free experience with an 18-month warranty, all backed by their professional customer service team. Contact them anytime by telephone, email, or live chat. Personally, as a homeowner, I love my Eufy Video Lock. I have the ability to see what's going on when I'm not home, when packages has arrived. And really the thing I love the most about it, the ease of being able to lock and unlock my doors without having to fumble with my keys and reach in my pocket or wait, no, crap, they're in my backpack, all that sort of stuff. All this is happening while my dogs are barking at me. You know what? Not anymore with the Eufy Video Lock. I touch it. 0.3 second fingerprint recognition, 1 second. Door is unlocked. Much, much easier. So if you want to jump on board with Eufy Video Lock, search Eufy Video Lock. That is E-U-F-Y Video Lock. Again, that's Eufy Video Lock, E-U-F-Y Video Lock, or visit eufyofficial.com/videolock to see how you can gain complete control of your door.
William says the Zebio Arena in Sendai was gorgeous. The LED screens wrapping around the arena with English descriptions was fantastic. Do you think this kind of modern-looking arena setup helps New Japan look better to Western fans?
Yes, absolutely. We're used to, you know, listen, I just got done working flyers last night, and boy, am I tired. but yeah, I mean, like the LED screens and the displays and, you know, the entrance graphics and the whole light show that's a professional wrestling show. That's what separates you working a fucking bingo hall and you working, you know, you looking like a major league promotion. New Japan is a major league promotion. And if, you know, if and when they do decide to come back to the States, you would hope eventually they would work their way back to those type of buildings. I mean, that's the goal. Whether that's going to be accomplished or not in the short term is highly debatable. But yeah, I mean, that just makes you look like a professional organization.
All right, let's touch on some of these prior New Japan Cup matches. Just quick thoughts on them. New Japan Cup semi-final, Shingo Takagi beat Evil in 22 minutes, 43 seconds with Last of the Dragon. So again, this is Evil, Shingo continuing his sort of transformation to the babyface character, where he spent a long time in this match as the babyface imperil before firing back to get his big win. What do you think of it?
I thought it was like one of the better Evil matches that I had to sit through. And trust me, every Evil match, I got my fucking remote in my hand because he's become a very skippable character in New Japan. And I will say this, that there were moments where easily I felt like this whole thing, they're going to fuck everybody over. And Evil's going on and winning this nonsense. And then my levels of anger would have been up. I thought, to me, I enjoyed this Evil match the most. And I think those two have a decent chemistry together. But man, I tell you, it's you really got to knock the ball out of the park. And I talk about Evil. Like, Evil's got to really put... Like, I feel like I instantly grade him on the harshest curve because he's got to fucking do something that's spectacular for me to be like, okay, this was good, because I'm always anticipating the fuckery of Evil.
Yeah, it wasn't the greatest match in the world, but probably one of the...
I thought it was good.
The less egregious Evil matches. But I'm perfectly okay with him in this spot. Like I said before... of the sort of upper mid-carder who gets the odd main event, is going to run deep in his tournaments, but I don't think he's going to be holding the big belt anytime soon or winning G1s or headlining Wrestle Kingdoms or anything.
We said that before.
Okay, now, the other semi-final... Let me go ahead.
I just want to shove in a quick question. Do you think, right now, the idea... I know it's... You know, I'm not even going to ask it. I feel like I already know what you're going to say. Never mind. I was going to ask you, do you think in hindsight, putting that title on Evil was a mistake? That was my question.
Did it really help him? I mean, I guess it again, I stick to my opinion at the time when we talked about that Dominion show last year,
right,
which was that they're playing with house money, right? They could take that risk and put the belt on him and have him main event shows and build up that character as a credible main event threat without suffering any consequences because of the ticket restrictions. And I think that still applies. I was excited by the character at the time. It was new, it was fresh, but now it's not new and fresh anymore. And, you know, we know what we're going to get. There's a pretty hard ceiling on what we can expect from Bullet Club Evil main event matches. But once in a while, I'm okay with it.
Right. I feel like taking it out of context and not recognizing the time that it was done is a bit unfair. So, right. I mean, it's easy to sit here now and be like, that sucked. Right. But at the time when it did happen, it was exciting. You know, for at least 2 or 3 weeks, it was exciting anyway. what a 2 or 3 weeks that was. All right. I'm sorry. Let's move on.
And to be fair to him, he has had matches that I've really enjoyed since the turn, like the Naito match at Power Struggle. I thought was a lot of fun. I like the Sanada match at Wrestle Kingdom, but then he does when he's forced to do these plodding 35-minute main events, not this one specifically, but others he's had in the past, then it's hard to stay excited about those. But let's talk about the other semi-final, which was Will Ospreay defeating David Finley in 21 minutes, 4 seconds with the Stormbreaker. So, I mean, I guess it's hard to talk about this match and also not talk about Finley beating Jay White in the previous match in the quarterfinal, because, you know, my big question last week was, can we elevate David Finley to the point in which he can get into the G1 climax? And I think, for me, after seeing these two performances, one where he's managed to squeak out, he beat Jay White quite definitively, and then just narrowly falling to Will Ospreay with his ankle injury. We've seen two sides of him here. You know, he's I thought his selling was really good with the ankle injury. It was an exciting, dynamic, classic New Japan main event style match, and he looked totally comfortable and like he belonged there. So to me, it's been a home run. This New Japan Cup, if nothing else, has helped to elevate David Finlay to a point at which I'd be more than happy to see him in the G1. What did you think of the match?
Yeah, he's definitely in, number one. I can't imagine the company not putting him in after the, I mean, again, the minute that he got the pinfall on Jay, that's your next level. You've just reached next level. I thought he was fantastic. I don't think anybody doubted the fact that he could go. No, right? No one's, that's not, that was never the issue. And if it was, you're dead wrong. There's a certain reconditioning that now has to occur, where people need to lose the idea of him being this at best this mid-card guy. And sometimes that takes a while for that to happen. And getting solid wins helps. The problem is that when you push the button too hard, you get situations like, you know, Jay White, where people just like, I can't take this seriously yet. And then people eventually come around because you're conditioned to see it. No, I thought the matches were great. I thought both of them were really good. The Jay White match I thought was great, just the dynamic of those two guys having the history that they had. And you're hoping that, like, I'm sitting here watching the match and I'm hoping that Jay puts him over. Like I was happier with that because of the idea of Jay being who he is now and helping a guy that you know he had a relationship with in the dojo and helping him reach that next level. Like, to me, that was a really cool moment. Like that might go unnoticed, right? That idea of Jay being the guy to help Finlay cross that bridge. I like, that's a cool moment. That's to me, that's the good part about pro wrestling. Like, moments like that is cool. And then the match with Will, I thought was very good. You know, let's be honest. Will had a pretty good tournament, don't you think? Like, Will had probably in my top three at least in the cup, and he you know, he could be sniffing top rung as MVP of the cup. He might very well be. And I thought that match was really good too. And again, the ankle injury and all that. So yeah, I think Finlay. Let's put it this way. If it breaks up the team of Finlay and Juice, I know we got to see him in Impact. I'm kind of over Juice a little bit. Juice is becoming a little bit, he's kind of starting to get on my nerves a little bit. If I could see David Finlay on his own, I'd be very happy with that.
So just if it's a straight shot, Juice or Finlay in the G1, we're all taking Finlay, right?
I would love it, but I think both will be in. But yeah.
If you only had to pick one.
I'm taking Finlay. Let's see what he can do.
Okay.
I mean, you'd rather have Juice?
No, I'd take Finlay. I think he's the better performer right now.
Yeah, I just think Finlay, A, is more interesting. I think we'll have more interesting matchups. Now, here's the problem. Is Finlay just going to be a pin eater? He's going to be a pin eater, right?
Well, if he's in the G1, I would put a hard ceiling on him for 8 points, and I think that would be optimistic.
Yeah. Yeah, I think 8 is a real... And that's not bad, right? That's okay. Yeah, 8's got to be... 8 really is a ceiling. And you figure other guys that are going to be in it, again, you have to have guys that lose. Just it's just the mathematics of this thing. I would hate to see him be a guy that takes too many pinfalls, but he's taking more pinfalls than he's winning. Let's put it that way.
Elliot says, wasn't it better that the camera didn't see Finley's fall that, quote-unquote, injured his ankle? I thought it left to our imaginations and made the injury more believable. Louis said, is kayfabe not dead between Finley's foot injury and the ending segment of the New Japan Cup? Did the New Japan work the fans? I know I fell for Finley's foot injury. And Spannerhead says, after his loss to Finley, is Jay White becoming the Jadis in his mind? That was very clever. But yeah, I thought they did a good job with the ankle injury. I wasn't sure whether it was legit or not, just the way that they didn't have the camera focusing on it. And then obviously as they leaned into it as the match went on, then it became clear that it was part of the storyline. But just the way it was executed at first was well done, and I thought it was a really good match. Also, on that show, Damon, something else happened, which we need to talk about, which was the earthquake that went on at the time during the show, earth-shattering happenings, Damon. Real groundbreaking stuff there. We saw a seismic shift in the landscape in New Japan. I was on John Tenterhooks. The team that lost the match probably wanted the earth to swallow them up. There have been rumblings about this for a while. Just the winner had it on a plate. It was just the tectonic for a dull show so far. I was quaking in my boots. I gave it 7.2 on the Rickstar scale. So I'm just reading through a bunch of puns that me and my friend Sipsy were sending each other during the show. But that was certainly interesting, wasn't it? And commentary team did a great job filling all that, the dead time, didn't they?
Yeah. Yeah. That happened once before. I want to say it was a Young Bucks match.
Apparently it was a Kyle O'Reilly best of the Super Juniors match.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Look, I love that country. I love visiting there. That is the one thing that I do have in the back of my mind all the time when I'm there. A fucking earthquake. What are you doing in an earthquake? Like, okay, there's a thunderstorm. You take shelter, right? Okay. A tornado, you get to, you know, in the basement. I don't know. I'm just trying to think of other natural disasters. Like a fucking earthquake, everything's moving. I can't imagine the fucking ground moving. I'm always in a high hotel, and I always feel like, oh my God, I would be so scared. I wouldn't be able to sleep the rest of the trip. I would just be – we had small ones when we were there. We, of course, after the show, drank. And I think we just taking a break, and we were going to reconvene downstairs in the lobby. And I remember we took a break, and I was sitting on the side of the bed, and I had a onigiri. Oh, I miss that so much. And I'm fucking shoveling food down my throat, and boom, all of a sudden, the fucking room's moving. And of course, my phone's lighting up like, what the fuck is that? What the fuck is that? It's like, So everybody gets downstairs, and you couldn't use the elevator. Everybody went down the stairs, and we're all looking at each other. And the staff's like, it was an earthquake. It's fine. You know, it's a small one. But yeah, it was an earthquake. And we're like, what the fuck? So yeah, it happened. And then one time, I was sitting in the bed after – it always happens after the Dome shows, it feels like. They replayed the Dome show on TV, and it was late, and I just had it on the TV. And they had a lamp that was near the TV. Like one of those standing lamps that had one of those chain, you know, pulley things to turn the lamp on and off. And like I was really, I mean, I, you know, obviously I had a couple of pops in me, and I'm just lying in the bed and, you know, looking at the TV, and I see the fucking thing swinging, and I'm like, man, I'm really fucked up. And I was like, well, no, wait a minute. No, everything's moving here. And then I was like, oh, instantly awake, like, oh, fuck, I'm going to die. Yeah, those earthquakes, man. I can't imagine. Fuck it. Did you get them over there? Do you see any of them?
No. No, I did experience the one in Tokyo. I think it was at Wrestle Kingdom 12, so that would have been 2018. I slept through it, but then Mally was awake. She experienced it. I don't know, a few people were texting me saying, whoa, did you feel that? Mally thought it was the people in the hotel room above us having energetic sex. She didn't realize it was an earthquake, so there you go. Not that she's used to sex like that.
No, she's... No. Oh, poor... Poor woman. I mean, we're not going to go there. Don't worry.
No. New Japan Cup quarterfinal. Will Ospreay beat Sanada in 18 minutes, 56 seconds with a Stormbreaker. I think Sanada has had quite a nice little tournament. The Nagata match was a bit of a snoozer, but I thought, by and large, he's done well. He hasn't botched anything. I thought he's shown some good energy, particularly against Ishii and in this Ospreay match. He tends to be a better foil for someone who's more aggressive and forces the high pace upon him. And I thought it was a mix of styles here that work really well together, these two.
I think Sonata works best when there's no expectations on him. I think people put expectations on him that he can't deliver, right? He's never going to give you that great wrestling match. And they keep putting him in spots where you would expect him to deliver and it never happens. But it being the means to an end to a tournament, just being the middle ground guy to be in. I think that suits him just fine, right? You put him in the ring, give him no expectations. All you got to do is win one match, lose to get the guy over to the next round. That's perfect for him, because then I don't, nobody went into this being like, Sonata's winning it. At least I wasn't. So maybe I felt like, look, you think higher of the matches than I do. They were there, but they didn't make me physically ill watching. Maybe not physically ill, but I'm bored out of my tears because I didn't have any expectations for it. Like, I didn't place anything in my mind. Maybe that's how you just enjoy Sonata. Like, as much as he doesn't care, that's how much you should care. And then maybe you meet in the middle.
Next quarterfinal was Shingo Takagi beating Kenta in 23 minutes, 47 seconds with The Last of the Dragon. And again, it was where his New Japan Cup took a turn, and he was booked against these Bullet Club heels. So he could play that role as the underdog babyface, which we saw in practice here. And pretty good match.
Yeah, I liked it. Kenta's an MVP, man. He's an MVP. And it's not always, it's not Noah Kenta you're getting all the time, but just the small, subtle things that he does. I just feel like he is a really solid performer. And people love to pick apart guys like his, their WWE runs. But I will say this. While New Japan allows you to have the creative freedom to do what you want and to be the character you want and to develop in that fashion, you can tell that his time there, as successful as it wasn't, you did pick up things that you can kind of tell were refined with his time in Orlando. You know what I mean? Like, he feels like a guy who does little tiny subtle things really well. And whether that's promo, whether that's just little subtle things in the ring, even before matches, like there's something to be said about, like, I wouldn't trade, like, I'm not saying that his time there was, well spent and it really launched his career, but he did pick up some things there that maybe he didn't have before.
And the last quarterfinal was Evil beating Toriano in 7 minutes 54 seconds with the Evil and Dick Togo turned the lights off. I quite liked that finish. I thought it was quite funny. I thought at first, oh God, are they saying that Evil's got magical powers? But then you saw Dick Togo coming back with a big grin on his face and you realise he turned out the lights, which I thought was...
Come on.
Got a little chuckle from that.
Did you? Yeah. He's an electrician. He knows where the power box is.
Look, it was only 7 minutes long. Can't argue with that.
I understand. I gotta be honest with you. I was more upset with that than the. No, I'm kidding. All right.
So overall thoughts on the tournament? Good one. Nice. Lots of clean finishes. High match quality. With the exception of the post match angle, I thought from start to finish, it was one of the better ones I can remember in history. Big T says, how often does a match in the middle of a tournament outclass the final? I weirdly enjoyed Ospreay's ZSJ more than the final and the other matches in the cup. Final's good, but not the best offering between those two. So, big pitch thoughts. What was your favourite match as well?
Between those two? I mean, it was...
Well, the whole
I
tournament.
Will and Zach was tremendous. I thoroughly enjoyed that. Okada's match was pretty great, right? Final, great. Which one am I going with? I personally really liked Zach and Will. There was something about that where they were able to work a match that felt a bit different than what you would normally expect. It felt like a fight, a pro wrestling fight. I think that might be my favorite one of the tournament.
And we should talk about our sport of pro wrestling pick'ems. So thank you very much to Chris Samsa for organizing that. And the winner is Chris Samsa with 70 points.
What?
So, what are the odds? look who won the pony. I came in a respectable eighth place with 64 points.
Nice.
In last place was Ollie D in 141st place with 14 points. So, Ollie, get in the bin, my friend. That's
in the bin with you. Do we know Ollie?
No.
No?
I do not.
Okay. Well, Ollie, here's a shout out from Damon. You got to watch this stuff a little bit more critical eye. You know, you're just sitting here lying on the couch, just like letting it sit in the background. You got to watch this shit. All right. So I expect better from you. Come G1 season. All right. I'm gonna be looking for you, Ollie. We're gonna have.
We want to see improvements. Otherwise, we want to see some consequences.
Yeah, or we're banishing you to All Japan. All right. You can't watch this anywhere. So we need to see a better effort from you. Okay? If you're going to be listening to this show, you better step up your game. All right? I know, and here's the thing. I know you can do it. I got confidence
in you. We believe in you, Ollie D.
We believe in you. We know you can do it. All right.
Comeback is on. All right. The Sakura Genesis card. This will be on Sunday, April the 4th at Sumo Hall. First match, we got Doki, Zack Sabre Jr. and Taichi versus Jado, Tangaloa, Tamatonga. Second match is Yoshihashi, Ishii, Goto, Yano, Okada against Dick Togo, Ishimori, Yujiro, Kenta, and Evil. Third match, we got Shingo, Sanada, and Naito against Jeff Cobb, Great Okan, and X. Fourth match, we'll get to that. Satoshi Kojima and Hiroshi Tanahashi against Fale and Jay White. Fifth match is the Junior Tag Team title match, Sho and Yo against Kanemaru and Desperado. And the sixth match, IWGP World Heavyweight Championship match, Kota Ibushi against Will Ospreay. Mark says, when was there a less interesting looking main card than Sakura Genesis? Do you think there'll be a change to add something more interesting if there's enough backlash or bad ticket sales? It's not great, is it, Damon? And it's not like Sakura Genesis has typically been like a mega show or anything, but it's usually better than this.
I mean, to me, you got a junior tag title match that you have seen, as Joel has counted, 7,263 times. And to be fair, a title match that we've seen, not maybe at this level, but we've seen this match a few times before. We know it's going to be good, but bordering on great. This has the makings of being the old chef's kiss. But it is okay. We got a one match here. We got one match, then littered with multi-man tags. Oh boy. Look, if you're looking at that card and snoring as I did, I'm right there with you.
All right, well, let's talk about this X then. So Brian says, who do you think X will be for United Empire and why? Bray says, if Henare is revealed as a mystery man in United Empire, what do you think his ceiling is as a member of the heel faction in the promotion? Simon says, follow-up question, rumours say Henare, Mikey Nichols or Robbie Eagles will be X. Being the pin guy for Empire could be a poison chalice. Look at Bushi and LIJ, Doki in Suzuki-gun. For that reason, I hope X isn't Eagles. What is the function? I don't know. This is my question. My question is, what is the function of this new member? So is it going to be another singles guy? Is it going to be a junior? I doubt it, because it's in a six-man match against all the LIJ heavyweights. Is this going to be someone who's going to be doing a tag run with a Jeff Cobb, maybe? Because, I'm assuming Okan and Naito are going to pick up their feud again. Is it going to be someone who's going to be the pin eater for the group? So there's a lot of questions about what role this X is going to fulfill. And they've been bigging him up backstage, saying, you know, he's a weapon, he's going to change the game for them. So it would be a bit strange if it were Hanare, who's just been beaten like a drum. I know he's got a change of attitude. And of course, this is not me casting aspersions on him as a wrestler, because we all think he's really talented. And maybe this would be the new coat of paint and change of attitude to get him shot up the card somewhere. He did tweet that he's going back home. There was a picture of a sunset at 4 o'clock in the afternoon in Japan. So someone pointed out that the sun doesn't set that early in March. So, you know, it could have been an old photo. Maybe he's not trying to deliberately deceive people, or maybe he's working. Maybe it is going to be Hanare. I think, gun to my head, I would say it is going to be Hanare. Your thoughts, Damon?
I say it's going to be Amber Gallows taking over a new love interest for Will Ospreay. Look, I think all roads point to Hanare on this, in my mind. I think with what we've seen with him, just little teases of dissension, little teases of frustration, him getting a little angry post-match promos and shit like that. I'd like to see it. I'd like to see that. I think that'd be cool. I would like to see him as kind of like the... as I say it, I think there are people that, like... All right, so you have Hanare in there. Unless they completely change his gimmick, doesn't he feel like he's like the dollar store Jeff Cobb at that point?
Yeah. I don't know. Again, I'll reserve judgment until I see how he's used, but your point being that they're both sort of Hoss power guys, but Cobb is bigger and more muscular and let's be fair, a better wrestler than him at this point.
Right. Like, what, I mean, again, unless they really change him up a bit, like, well, I don't know, a little strange. So, yeah, I mean, I would say Hanare, honestly. I would say that would be my pick, let's put it that way.
Firehawk says, does Joel still stand by his January prediction of Will winning the gold at Sakura Genesis? If not, where does Will go from here with a loss? And you see Ibushi versus Okada, Tanahashi, or Shingo at the stadium shows. I'm not sure. I mean, I think Ospreay has, just by winning the cup, I think that's been an elevation in and of itself. Do I think they go all out and have him as the first IWGP World Heavyweight Champion? I'm not so sure. It's a coin flip for me. Actually, I think maybe I'm leaning more towards Ibushi winning. I'd say 60-40 in favor of Ibushi.
I think Will wins. I want to say that, and I've said this before numerous occasions, that company is high on Will Ospreay. And I know I've said many times in the past, in a joking fashion and in a serious fashion, that they are going to push this dude to the moon. So I think we see a title change. I do.
Just touching back on the Roppongi 3K thing, Rob says, the Roppongi 3K get one last run with the junior tag belts before splitting up, or will they break at Sakura? And Frankie says, overrunner and Yo turning on Sho and joining the Empire as their junior. I don't think Sho's going to be doing double duty, because then he would have to be debuted in match... the third match, and then come out again and wrestle with Roppongi 3K in the fifth match. So I don't think it's going to be Yo, because it just logistically doesn't work.
Let me ask you a question. That show, do you think it's intentionally built to put all the spotlight on that heavyweight title match? Like, that feels to me like an intentionally boring undercard to put all focus on that main event. That screams to me title change.
I don't even think a bit that deeply. I just think they've spread themselves so thinly with all these extra shows and all this content they're doing that they've had to spread out their title matches. Like, you see how the NEVER title now has basically taken the slot of the IC title. It's the secondary belt that is going to be feuded over from by the main eventers who are not in the heavyweight title picture, which is why we're looking at Tanahashi versus Jay White for that, and that's going to be saved to headline another show. So, I mean, there's a lot of questions about why they're pissing around with the belts and getting rid of the lineage of one of them and getting rid of one and elevating another if the booking patterns are going to stay the same. So that's a bit of a head scratcher, but I just think it's simply a case of they're stretching themselves too thinly rather than deliberately putting on a weak card to give more emphasis to the main event.
Man, it just seems like a real... I mean, that is one of the weakest undercards we've seen at all. I mean, and we've seen some weak ones. That's just bare-boned. And then, boom, you got your... I don't know. I just... That... I kind of see this one as a title change. Just because there's nothing else on that show that the fucking... Okay. And this is the first world title defense, correct?
That's right. We're going to crown a brand new champion, the first of the lineage.
A lot of missteps with this fucking this regime. All right. What do you think about
Harold back? I miss Harold. I'm joking.
I'm just saying. Doesn't it feel like we've spent a lot of time talking about non-ring stuff with this regime?
More than usual, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, have we done a lot with Harold? Like, we would bust on Harold and Craven and all those guys. I don't know. I don't feel like this regime has had I don't think this regime has had as much criticism as Harold's reign. And I think it's really, I mean, again, every week we're talking about nonsense. That's got to fall on the fucking, the top, the brass, right? Am I out of my mind with that?
No, there's been quite a high concentration of shenanigans over the last, 9 months or so. Some speculation that maybe it's Dick Togo joining the booking committee has led to these weird changes.
He has that much influence over guys that have been sitting at those tables before.
Now, well, they're scared of him, Damon, because he's got the garrot wire. He's a frightening man.
Now,
Dick, I'm not sure we should get rid of our heavyweight title.
Okay, we'll do it. Fine. What the fuck is this, Goodfellas now? Jesus Christ. Oh, an aristocrat. All right. So, again, not an exciting show there, but world title match. And I think we're going to see a change. All right, where else do you want to go now? Where do you want to go now, Joel?
I would like to answer Mark's question. He says, do you think Andrade / La Sombra will come to New Japan? And MBTL OUFC says, if Andrade doesn't join New Japan before Sacred Genesis or the two Dome / Stadium shows, do we think Naito will introduce him a la Shibata and Kenta pre-G1? And Gui Jager says, how bummed would you be if Andrade debuts as a member of the Empire? So, of course, this is someone who has been in New Japan before. What do you think the chances are of him appearing there again in the future now that he is out of WWE without the 90-day no-compete clause?
That's right. I think it's almost a definite that you will see him in a New Japan Pro Wrestling ring this year. Definite. That being said, I don't think he's going to be X. Right? And I don't think he'll be with the United Empire. I think Los Ingobernables is where we'll be seeing. I mean, again, consider the fact that there is a opening with Evil's departure that has yet to be filled, and this one is an easy transition right on in. I think that's where we'll see him. But yes, I think that's very good news. A guy who You know, we just talked about guys floundering in WWE. There's a perfect example of a real talented dude who I'm sure feels like the weight of the world has been lifted from his shoulders, and he can be creative again and able to work. And it is amazing what they think talent is, that company. You know, it is pretty amazing. I'm not saying he's one of my favorite wrestlers. And in fact, I'll go so far as to say, I think he's very good. I don't think he's like this world-class pro wrestler. But I think he's very good, and it'll be a welcome addition to New Japan Pro Wrestling once again.
Yeah, I think his most likely landing spot, initially at least, will be ROH. But of course, with you know the beautiful friendship that they've got going on with New Japan, the two things are not mutually exclusive. I'd be optimistic that we'd see him appearing in New Japan at some point, you know, once we can get the travel going again. All right, well, that's main roster stuff. Can I talk, please, about New Japan Strong?
You absolutely can. I think everyone looks forward to your takes and what's going on over there, so we don't have to.
All right. So I didn't get a chance to review last week's show, so I'm going to do that. This is March the 12th, where we saw the Regal Twins beat Adrian Quest and Barrett Brown in 11 minutes 33 seconds by a small package, and it's another good win for the Regal Twins. They are perfect for these short, fun opening matches. I like their tattoo shirts that they're wearing now because they're in this stable with Brody King. All they're really lacking is some character, but they'll get there. Nice, simple little build.
How about junior tag team champions?
I know. We are desperate for junior tag team, so as soon as the travel situation opens up, I will be hoping to get them over and build them up on the main roster because they desperately need it there over in Japan. And also within this match, they have a nice simple little build between Adrian Quest and Barrett Brown, a bit of discord, a bit of shoving, like, hey, that was your fault, blah, 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 blah. It's really simple storytelling, but you can't go wrong with that. It's these little touches that make it good to watch because I want to see what happens next, so thumbs up for that. We had Hiko Leo defeating Jordan Clearwater in 7 minutes 50 seconds with a Samoan driver. And again, Hiko Leo is growing in confidence and swagger. I thought Clearwater did a good job in making Hiko Leo look like a beast, despite them being of comparable heights there. And he is a good fiery babyface, Jordan Clearwater. There was a little hope spot before it just got snuffed out by a snap power slam and a Samoan driver, so a really nice finish there. And I'm never going to turn my nose up at a Bullet Club heel who wins cleanly. And I think long term he should be built up as Bad Luck Fale's replacement. I don't know if that is the direction, but I can definitely see the upside in that. And another New Japan Cup qualifying match, we have Fred Rosser beating JR Kratos in 40 minutes 16 seconds with a schoolboy. I like Fred Rosser a lot. He's got good facial expressions that help get over the story of the match. And you know, we do love to shit on WWE, but wrestlers, like you said when we're talking about Kenta, wrestlers do learn and develop a lot of useful skills there. I think this is one of them. And it was a nice story with Fred trying to outsmart JR Kratos because he couldn't outmuscle him, but Kratos was no fool and was able to match Rosser in the mind game. So it was a good subversion of a tried and tested trope where we might assume JR Kratos is less intelligent, but he could adapt his own game plan on the fly, but was just eventually caught out at the end there. And I was impressed by Kratos here, and that was in no small part due to Rosser doing a good job bumping and selling for him despite being a large gentleman himself. I'm trying to like develop a rating system for these guys and how much I would want to see them in Japan on the main roster. So I think the gold standard should be, is this person G1 worthy? And Kratos is not there yet. He's not quite there, but I'll put him as a solid World Tag League entrant, and that's a compliment because I enjoyed the World Tag League last year. I think JR Kratos would be popular in Japan because, you know, they like the big foreign hoss wrestlers there, and I thought this was a really good match. The finish could have been a little bit cleaner, not a huge complaint. I don't think Kratos lost much from the defeat. He still looks strong because they ran a little angle at the end with Hiko Leo coming out attacking Rosser post-match to avenge a previous loss that he had to Fred Rosser. So these matches and these results matter. We are building long-term feuds here in New Japan Strong, and I'm expecting them to meet again in the first round of the Cup and looking forward to it because of the attention to detail like this. And then the next episode we saw, this was on Friday, March the 19th. We got nice promos from Brody King and Bateman at the start of the show. Again, just little things. You don't see it on the main roster. You don't get little video packages at the start of the show where they're doing promos and hyping up the matches. You always got to go to YouTube for the post-match comments. So maybe something they might want to think about bringing into the main roster at some point. A little pre-match promo wouldn't do any harm. We had, Jeff Cobb defeating Alex Coughlin in 5 minutes 58 seconds with the Tour of the Islands. There's a very good Alex Coughlin interview with Kieran of Wrestling on the Wrestling podcast feed and on YouTube. Really interesting. I like Alex Coughlin's moustache. There's some good chat about Mortal Kombat there, so I'd recommend people check that out.
Is that the Wrestling Tavern show?
Wrestle In. I-N-N.
Okay. When am I going to get it? I like having beverages, and I like pro wrestling.
Hey, Kieran. I know Kieran's listening. Get in touch. Damon would love to be on your show. So,
I don't know about love, but
he would like to have a beer at least. Send him some beer.
Can we do that? That's perfect.
Okay, forget the thing about being on the show. Send some alcohol.
No, I want to be on the show. I want to be on the show.
Oh, dear. This Coughlin versus Cobb, it was just a squash match, but Cobb looked like a monster. Coughlin played his part in that, which was good. And then we were back to our New Japan Cup qualifying matches with Ren Narita defeating Mysterioso in 11 minutes, 12 seconds with the Narita Special 3. Some very cool early Lucha-style mat exchanges there, which you don't get to see too much from the Japanese Young Lions. And Kevin Kelly did a good job bringing out those interesting thoughts, like the fact that Young Lions in Japan wouldn't have much experience dealing with stuff like Lucha style or out-of-the-ring brawling. So it was really interesting clash of styles here. And Ren Narita reminds me a lot of Yuji Nagata in his offense and his technique. So excited to see how well he goes in the tournament proper. And then the last, for this show at least, the New Japan Cup qualifying match was Brody King defeating Bateman in 30 minutes 25 seconds with a Ganso bomb. This is good. This was a nasty, ugly brawl where we had like the calculated offense of Bateman, who's going after Brody King's knees against Brody's mauling bear-like style. And I'm excited to see Brody King again, see how he will do in the New Japan Cup. So, I mean, big picture thoughts on Strong. I'm really enjoying it, Damon. And I'm not just saying that because it's getting better. We've got stakes. We've got meaningful matches. The people are putting in effort because they know that basically they're out there advertising themselves for bigger spots. We're getting, and for other promotions as well, we're getting clean finishes. It's simple storytelling. The matches don't go on for too long. And it's really easy to digest. You just get 3 matches a week. It is my favorite weekly wrestling show. I'm not afraid to say that.
Wow.
And we got 2 more qualifying matches for the Cup next week. We've got Clark Connors against TJP. I'm begging Clark Connors to win that because TJP, very entertaining wrestler, but just an absolute knobhead. And Chris Dickinson against Blake Christian. I fully expect Chris Dickinson to win that one. So we are looking potentially at a New Japan Cup lineup of hopefully Clark Connors, Chris Dickinson, Ren Narita, Brody King, Tom Lawler, Leo Rush, Hikuleo, and Fred Rosser, which is really exciting to me. And Frankie says, thoughts on that New Japan Cup USA confirmed lineup? Some very interesting potential matchups that I'd love to see done in front of a real crowd. Damon, what do you think of those names?
That's pretty cool. Look, I'm excited the fact that this is your new... You know what? For all the fucking stuff that you had to go through on online, that should be your next tweet. That New Japan Strong is my favorite weekly pro wrestling program. Period. Send. That's awesome. We need to get more people on that. That's a good New Japan Cup lineup too.
We were this close from having Mighty Skull sneaked on there, so I'm not going to count my chickens yet, but I'm glad he's not. I can enjoy my product in peace.
Okay, here's my point. It didn't air, so it didn't happen. So the show still remains intact. Now, if they said, fuck you people, we're putting it on, we pay for his flight, fuck that. He's on. Then you'd have a problem, right? But they had him on. They shot the angle. It got out. There was an uproar, and they did the right thing. At least they did the right thing there. Now, again, you can argue that. Well, okay, great, you fucking did it because everybody complained. But that's how this works, I guess, in this world, right? They did the right thing. As much as I want to fucking sometimes just grab them and look them in the eye and be like, what are you doing? They did the right thing by eventually doing the right thing. It's okay that New Japan Strong is your favorite weekly episodic wrestling program. And I think that that is important to promote. I do.
All right, I'm going to knock it on the head there because we do have some more questions, but my little girl is feeling a bit under the weather. I'm going to go and see how they're all doing. So redcircle.com/shows/super-j-cast. And thank you everyone who has donated money to us. So that's the link if you want to throw some bucks our way. Discord link is in the show notes. And if you want to get one of our t-shirts at CobraKawaii and ProWrestlingTees.com/super-j-cast. Massive thanks as always to editor Dan. Please find him on Twitter at LousingHero219. Subscribe to the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network for other great shows. Please give us a 5-snake review on iTunes and some kind words. Follow us on Twitter at the Super J Cast. Thank you everybody for listening and goodbye.